Open Ohio Bias presents NASCAR Talk with Justin Bradley. Episode 7, the Southern 500 has come and gone, and Denny Hamlin is the one standing in the winner's circle. Justin, it was an exciting race down in Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, and that's the thing about South Carolina. They love their lady in black, and the South Carolinians came out in full force and supported. You know, it was a great race. It's always a great race. Like I said, one of the crown jewels on the tour, and exciting finish, definitely. I thought I was going to be right on the winner this week, but Martin Truex had the tire go down, and Hamlin won the race. But in essence, the fastest car ended up winning anyway, so Denny Hamlin drove a heck of a race, and pretty cool to see that Ray Hendrick scheme in victory lane.
In this podcast, we're going to talk about Martin Truex Jr., who, you know, was the regular season champion for the Monster Energy Series with those two stage wins there in Darlington. We'll, of course, look at the standings going into Richmond, the last race, and then, you know, of course, get Justin's prediction for what's going to happen there. And, of course, for those last three guys, Justin, those two stage wins puts Martin Truex Jr. over the top. He's going to take a ton of points in to the playoffs. But you talked about that tire, him, Kyle Busch. A lot of guys came up short when it came to that last race. And I think now I see the toughness that you talked about or you were discussing on the last podcast.
Yeah, that's Darlington. And Dale Earnhardt once said, you got to always respect the lady or she'll reach out and slap you. And she slapped Martin Truex. And it's funny because I made a comment there on Twitter saying, the lady's been kind of flirting with Martin Truex all night long, but if he doesn't respect her, maybe she's going to get him. But I think she just was in a mood on Sunday night, the lady in black, Darlington, because Truex did everything right. He just had the tire go down, and that's just the brakes. You know, he's trying to stay out in front of Denny Hamlin, trying to win the Southern 500 a second straight year. You got to go for it. He had nothing to lose anyway, and it just didn't work out in his favor. But Denny Hamlin, he didn't always respect the lady last on Sunday, so I keep wanting to say last night for some reason. But in the end, he made up for it, and he was the winner. So tip my hat to Denny Hamlin. What a heck of a run for him. And he had the strongest car most of the night other than when Truex was up front. And, you know, again, another quality Southern 500, a lot of good cars out there that didn't come home in victory lane, but that's Darlington. That's what happened.
Where does this one relate? I mean, Denny Hamlin's had a hell of a career. Is he, you know, a lock for the Hall of Fame? And what else would he need to add to his resume?
Well, there's some things that Denny Hamlin definitely can make a case for being in the Hall of Fame. He has over 30 wins now. He's won the Daytona 500, the Southern 500 twice. A few items that are missing on his resume, though, obviously the glaring one, the championship. And he had a chance to win it back in 2010. And he blew it to Jimmy Johnson. That was not a good thing. He ran out of gas at Phoenix that year and then didn't do so well at Homestead. Johnson finished second in that race and won his fifth straight title. So a bummer for Denny there. I think the championship is one he needs to do. Coke 600, he needs to win that one. He's won the All-Star race, but he has not won the Coke 600. Also, you look at Indianapolis, he doesn't have a win there, so he's done a lot of other good things, though. He's won a lot of difficult tracks. He also has that road course win from last year at Watkins Glen. And he's just quietly had one of the most solid careers in the modern era. I think out of all the drivers out there, he's definitely in the top tier. But again, he's going to have to win a championship. And I think the way he ran at Darlington, you can make a case he might be in the Final Four again this year.
Couple guys bringing up the rear there now as we looked at, they did not capitalize on that opportunity there in Darlington. And it's the guys we've been talking about, you know, who have been right there. Your guy, Joey Logano, again, Clint Bowyer, who was, you know, ran well, but, you know, calling him up short. And Erik Jones, who the rookie has been impressive. They're in the playoff picture. Those are the last three. I mean, you know, and then the guys even that are in 16, 15 in that 13th spot, you know, Jamie McMurray, Casey Kane, Ryan Newman. I mean, Jimmy McMurray is 3 points behind Chase Elliott, who's a couple spots up ahead of Ryan Newman, 1 point behind Mankiewicz. I mean, this thing's really going to come down to who can get those points in. I mean, if Martin Truex will ever let anybody win a stage.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Chase Elliott's safe on points. Matt Kenseth's safe on points. Jimmy McMurray, maybe a little bit of concern there. But again, I talked about this, I think, last week, said Joey Logano would not be a factor at Darlington. He wasn't. Neither was Jimmy Johnson, but Jimmy's safely in the playoffs. Logano, though, I think has the advantage over the rest of the guys who need to make the playoff with a win, because he won at Richmond in the spring. Had he not gotten that taken away from him, he would have been okay, and he'd be in the playoffs right now. So, again, he runs really well at Richmond. I still don't see Joey Logano making it this year. Eric Jones, he's come on strong late, but, again, might be a case of too little too late, albeit he very well could win at Richmond based on the way he ran at Bristol. And then Clint Bowyer, I don't see him making it. Stuart Haas has kind of had a little bit of trouble getting up to speed with the Fords this year. So I think right now, locks for me, Chase Elliott, Matt Kenseth, Casey Kane won the Brickyard. He's in. So Ryan Newman also has that victory at Phoenix. He's in as well. So those guys don't have to worry. It's McMurray and everybody else who right now have to worry about where they're going to be come chase time.
All right, we're going to get to some exciting stuff about Richmond, that short track there, and what that race is going to mean, you know, for those guys. But real quick, Justin, a story that's been going around, and it's kind of some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. The rookie, Daniel Suarez, who everybody likes, I mean, he's become a quick fan favorite, gets dropped by his sponsor, Subway, because he was handing out donuts from Dunkin' Donuts during a pre-race segment. I mean, we know the sponsorship, what it means, the money that they can buy, you know, the parts to put in the cars and make the cars faster. We understand that part of it. But, I mean, it's just this bad form by a company who let a child molester, you know, stay on their books for, you know, close to 10 years. And, I mean, they dropped this guy for handing out donuts.
Yeah, this is terrible form. And I don't see how you can support Subway on that situation or the Daniel Suarez situation. I think they wanted out. They were looking for an excuse because Carl Edwards was their guy, and then he decided he wasn't going to run this year. Whether he's retired, we still don't know. But again, with one race to go and you're going to drop a guy for handing out donuts, that's a little ridiculous to me. But Subway, I don't understand the thought process there, but they have that right. We saw earlier that Danica Patrick and Nature's Bakery had some issues. They didn't like the way that Danica wasn't featuring their products on social media. So, you know, I guess that's sponsor discretion, but that's really kind of ridiculous when some of the drivers were on Twitter saying they don't even recall Suarez handing out any donuts. But, again, you do see the drivers with their sponsor logos on all the time. You'll see them drinking Coke after a race. They get sponsor points for that, but In this case, I think that Subway was a little bit dishonorable. We don't really know the whole story again, but just given the fact that Suarez has done above and beyond what people have expected of him this year, and he's put the Subway car in the top 10 almost every time he's run it this year, I think they should have just honored the deal and said, you know what, we'll let it slide. Not a big deal, because donuts and subs, not really the same thing. It's apples and oranges, right?
Oh,
so
yeah,
a little
exactly.
bit ridiculous there.
Exactly.
So
I got a question for you, though. How big of an impact can that have on his racing team just for this last race? I mean, is it like they won't be able to get the pistons they need, you know, going into Richmond, or is it just one of those things that's more PR, if anything else?
It's just more PR than anything else. It's Gibbs has a strong organization. They've got a lot of money. They're going to be fine. It's just they'll have to figure out what's going to go on the car. May even very well be blank, but again, you know, we saw Snickers and all those pull their sponsorship of Kyle Busch when he wrecked Ron Hornaday a few years ago. So they ran without that sponsorship for a couple of races. But, you know, it's not really going to affect them too much. It's just kind of an unnecessary black mark for everybody involved because, you know, I mean, it's kind of one of those things that made the fans say, what? You know, that's
yeah.
It just kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth because Suarez is a good guy and he kind of, I think, deserves a little bit more respect than to just be dropped like that.
Well, I think Subway, you know, maybe take a small hit, but, you know, for Suarez, I mean, people now, it expanded his fan base because, I mean, it made people take a look at him and, you know, you kind of been looking at him, like you said, his finishes and whatnot, but now it's like you got a reason to root for this guy. So definitely, you know, I think he'll have more fans, especially going into next season. One thing funny about sponsorship, too, NASCAR always ahead of the game when it comes to sponsorship. The NBA has finally caved and it will be putting, you know, sponsors logos on their jerseys. I just think that's funny, as you know, sports have always tried to poke fun at NASCAR, and the drivers always with all the sponsors on there, and all the other sports have pretty much come around to doing that, especially if we look at soccer, hockey, and now even the NBA.
Yeah, and it's definitely, it's a lot of it's marketing, and it's getting your brand name out there, especially with up-and-coming drivers and top-tier drivers. Just like Nature's Bakery I talked about earlier, I didn't know who they were until they sponsored Danica Patrick. Does Danica run up front? No, but she's Danica, so you get to see her car on TV quite a good bit, even though maybe it shouldn't be shown a whole lot considering where she runs. But, you know, you look at these brands, Nature's Bakery, you see the different promotions they do with Kyle Busch. Snickers is different flavors, like the caramel M&Ms as well. They're always on there. So a lot of good branding, and NASCAR has really had a handle on it for years. And NASCAR fans are loyal to their drivers, and they're loyal to the products. So it kind of goes hand in hand. And so what Subway essentially did is, if you were loyal to Suarez, or even just loyal to the 19 car because you like Carl Edwards, well, you made a lot of fans mad, so now they're going to go to Jimmy John's or Firehouse Subs or somewhere else. And like you said, it expanded Suarez's fan base. And, you know, sponsorship is, it's pretty fun in NASCAR because there are so many of them. But you recognize the brand when you see it on the shelf. It used to be that you'd see, even on shop towels, it said the official shop towel of NASCAR, the official battery, the official soft drink. So the branding, a big part of NASCAR, it's always going to be that way. And it's what makes it fun, because you go to see these colorful cars with the that are basically just 180-mile-per-hour billboards.
Absolutely. Let's get to the short track in Richmond, Virginia, and spend a little time out in the Virginia Beach area, Justin. And, man, I ask people, what is there to do in Virginia, whatnot? They say, make sure you go to the fall race in Richmond. So people are going to be ginned up for this one. It's the last race before the playoff. We talked about the guys who need to step up and try to get that win there to get in. What is something that is unique about running on a track this short? And when we say short, I mean, we're talking, you know, 0.75 miles around. I mean, asphalt track. I don't think people really know until they've been there how small this track really is.
Yeah, it's under the lights. And it steps up the aggression because you got guys fighting for everything they can get on the racetrack. And they also know that even if they are secure on points, they could be bumped out if somebody else wins. So if you get a miracle from somebody like maybe Danica, maybe Dale Jr., you know, you might be in trouble. So you're going to see a lot of people taking a lot of different chances. And you're going to see teams doing things that they normally wouldn't do. And this is their last chance to really go full bore before they get into the playoffs. And it's also the last time we're going to see Richmond have the last race before the playoffs for a while, because I think they're switching it to the Brickyard next year. That'll be the last race before the playoffs. But it's classic Saturday night short track racing. It's always a fun race to watch. A lot of good memories, too, from those types of races. I remember Rusty Wallace took out Jeff Gordon in one, and probably in hindsight, he shouldn't have done that. That was during Gordon's 98 season. And after that, Jeff Gordon just went on a tear and dominated the rest of the way. But you will definitely see some people taking more chances. We see more tempers. And it's just a mix of excitement that the fans really love. And that's what makes Richmond a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, one long straightaway in the shape of a D. I mean, very cool track. This is the last time that it will be seen the way it is, too, for everybody, because they're doing those big renovations there coming up. So I think it's going to be an exciting race. Definitely looking forward to it, Justin. But you know what we want, man. Give us your prediction.
Well, my prediction for myself is I'm going to be doing a lot of channel surfing, because we've got the big game on Saturday night, and you've got the big race. So, you know, as much as I love NASCAR, my allegiance to our wonderful Buckeyes is pretty heavy, too. So that's my prediction for myself. In terms of who's going to win this race, oh, my goodness, it could be anybody. It could really honestly be any driver in that field because, like I said, they're going to be taking chances. They're going to be going crazy. I think, though, safe bet would be Kevin Harvick or Kyle Busch. I really think they're going to be fine. More than likely, I'm going to pick Kyle Busch to win at Richmond. If not, I look for Erik Jones to make a strong run at it. Then you got a couple of dark horse picks. I'll throw Logano in there. He knows that he won there in the spring. And another dark horse pick, and I really would like to see this happen for his fans, is Dale Jr. I think if he can get it together for just one night, and that's all you need, he can maybe make the playoff in his final season. I don't see it happening, but just for sentimental reasons, I'll pick Dale Jr. as a dark horse.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that has been episode 7. Justin, very excited about this one. And then we got the playoffs coming, which we're going to be definitely going through the playoff format and what that whole thing entails, because I had to wrap my head around that one. So that's going to be an exciting podcast coming up after Richmond. And, of course, we're going to be excited for the Buckeyes to beat Oklahoma at home, too. So, Justin, go ahead and take us out, brother.
Always great to have everybody along. And the Southern 500 was fantastic, but I promise you there's going to be more great races coming. You won't want to miss Homestead. Martinsville is going to be in there. Charlotte, a lot of great races coming up. But again, tune in Saturday night. Should be fun. And as always, go Buckeyes.
And we want to thank you to all the fans. I had some fun going back and forth with people during the races on Sunday. And we'll definitely be getting on the old Twitter machine come Saturday night for the big race. You can always follow us at With an Ohio Bias on Twitter, and give us a like on Facebook, With an Ohio Bias. Just put that in there and you can definitely find us. And we're always have this podcast available at withanohiobias.com on iTunes. You can just search With an Ohio Bias and subscribe and write us a review even. And we'd be happy if you do the same on Stitcher and also on Google Play, where this podcast is available too. Justin, give your social media links just so people can follow you.
Yeah, still the same thing. 2 Justin Bradley for Twitter and 3 Justin Bradley for Instagram. So we'd like to have you along with us.
So definitely mix it up with us out there on the old social media. We thank you for listening to this edition of NASCAR Talk with Justin Bradley, and we will talk at you next time.